listening to On the Couch with Carly. Carly's couch is a safe space to talk. I'm a psychologist, but I'm not your pipe-smoking, tweed-wearing stereotype.
Hello, welcome back to On the Couch with Carly. I am here in the official uniform of the mom with my mom bun and my sort of loungewear without makeup on my face, because that is my reality and it is 10 to 9 in the evening, but inspiration has hit and I have got a message on my phone which I didn't switch off, and I really want to just put these thoughts down. And it's just, I'm mulling over it. I thought, let me just do this thing. So first of all, I'm getting used to talking to an image of myself rather than just speaking into a microphone without the thought of how I look. But here I am. And for those of you who follow me on only a podcast streaming service, now you can also follow me on a video streaming service. And some people really love that. And I hope that that means that more people access these podcasts and you can help me with that. So please, if you've been enjoying my content, please follow me on whatever podcast platform you watch or listen to. Please show some love by like rating this podcast or reviewing the podcast positively, because that will really help to boost the audience and get people to participate in this process. And yeah, please share it with your friends or anyone you think would be interested in this content. As always, I welcome your feedback. And yeah, I'm doing this mostly for myself, I think, you know, just to have a place to share and offer some insights and hopefully connect with others, and absolutely, hopefully help someone feel less alone in their experience. So today's topic is something that I've been thinking about in terms of motherhood, but I think perhaps it extends to womanhood in our modern era. And I do a lot of thinking about the patriarchy and what it has taught us or what it has sort of taken away from us about womanhood, about what makes the feminine or whatever you want to say. And I think at a time like this where gender is such a fluid concept and we're embracing this non-binary thinking, which is that there is no such thing as a woman-woman discrete category and a man-man discrete category, I still think that the patriarchy has minimized and undervalued and really has a lot of hatred for what is or what has been classified as feminine. And that's part of the problem, right? That men who contain feminine attributes are also harmed by the patriarchy in that way. Okay. So one of the things I've been thinking about is how we have moved away from traditional setups where there has been real respect for what women do, what women offer. And I'm not sure where it began because I'm not a historian, but I do think about the fact that in our modern lives, there is a deficit when it comes to the support structures that are around a mother as she becomes a mother and in those early years as she's raising small children. And I guess what I'm seeing and what I'm connecting with in both my work with moms, but also in my work that I've been doing lately around teaching couples who, expecting couples, couples who are pregnant, who are doing antenatal classes, teaching them about what they can prepare for when it comes to having a baby, and how they can talk to each other, and what they need, what conversations they need to be having before baby comes, so that they're best prepared for this experience, and so that their relationship is protected from the stress and strain of having a baby. And one of the things I'm thinking about is when I think about my clients who come to me and they feel lost, they feel sad, they feel frustrated, they feel angry when their male partners, it doesn't have to be male, sometimes it's same-sex couples, when their partner doesn't offer them the kind of support they need. And what I've been thinking about is how, over time, what we have done in our society is we have stripped women from their roles and minimized and devalued women's roles in society to such an extent that it has stripped women of the most incredible support that we used to get from other women in our tribe, particularly around these milestones like having a baby. And so, what I'm thinking about right now is just this, like, what is the quality of female support? Because I know how frustrating it is to feel like your partner doesn't get it, that they, and they can't, right? Like, how can, and if it is a man, how can a man or the other person who hasn't had the matrescence experience, who hasn't, whose body hasn't been taken over by pregnancy, birth, breastfeeding, you know, the other person who doesn't go through that, how can they truly know what the experience is, or know how to meet you in your experience? And I think a lot of the time we do feel frustrated, and I think there's a massive amount that can, like, that gap can be bridged through effort on that partner's part. Like, I know that for a fact. I'm not by any means sort of excusing a lack of participation from a male partner or a partner who hasn't gone through the birth themselves. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I can really feel collectively that we're all struggling against the fact that we are expecting one person, or perhaps maybe we've got our partner and maybe one other person that's around who assists. Maybe it's a nanny, maybe it's a granny, maybe it's a sister, just someone else that's like participating in this parenting experience. But really, we're looking at one person to fulfill a role that was actually fulfilled by an entire village of women, right? Like an entire community, a network of sisters and aunts and elders and your mother and your partner's mother and et cetera, your neighbor, the midwives, you know? And I'm trying to think about what that feels like to have that kind of support, to know female support. And I'm thinking about all of the experiences I've had in my life where I have sort of like slipped into this rhythm, this flow with another person where I don't even realize it, but there's a buoyancy. I'm like being buoyed up by their support, by their encouragement, by their love, by their care. And it's a particular experience that I believe happens female to female, but I'm not say maybe female to female is the wrong term, woman to woman or femme to femme or whatever it may be. I think it includes queer non-binary people in that because I think it's about a particular kind of interacting that happens that isn't gendered necessarily, but it's about being separate from that masculine performance of strength and competition. Because what I see as the alternative is this, you know, that experience when you're, and maybe some of you won't know this, but if you've ever gone clubbing and you go to the bathroom and you're a woman, you'll get into the bathroom and you are not just going to have a pee and wash your hands and be done. You're probably going to stand in a line. And in that line, you are going to connect with absolute perfect strangers. And in that line, you are going to say things to each other that lift each other up. You're going to be like complimenting each other on your outfits. You're going to be commenting on how fab the hairstyles are. You're going to be, I don't know, just saying the most like positive, reinforcing, encouraging things. And it's like almost, I mean, yes, it might be because of intoxication and that people are like, you know, uninhibited. And so they're like, you know, more likely to be, I don't know, connecting. And, but I just also know, because I'm the kind of person that goes to clubs sober, I also know that that shit happens whether you're sober or not. And it's not about that. It's about this feeling of being in a cave and no one else is invited. It's a safe space. And you know when you enter that space that you leave the space of the world around you where everybody, where there's men and women and you have to sort of, you know, participate in society. You go into a bathroom in a club and it's like this secret little VIP section where it's all people who can relate to each other in a safe, caring way. And I think when we feel safe, we are caring of one another. We want to boost each other. We want to show each other that we think the other person's amazing. I don't even know if I've ever heard of someone being bitchy in a club bathroom. I mean, probably it happens. And it's kind of a little bit like a cliche, like a trope, but let's just say it's a stereotype and that there's it's just a archetype, right? Like an example of something that maybe isn't 100% true 100% of the time. So I'm not saying every bathroom is filled with nice, positive people and there's no negativity. I'm sure lots of shit has happened in club bathrooms. What I'm trying to say is there's an energy around that, and I think it's meaningful. I think that there's like a trend that we are more inclined to be supportive and caring and boost each other and big up each other when we are in a space that is safe and away from the male gaze. Male gaze is maybe not the right phrase, but you know what I mean. That sounded like a little bit of a rap. And so I've been thinking about this because I see lots of parents and my young mothers in my practice, and they tell me about the pain that they feel about the invisible weight of parenting, that they carry around this huge, onerous responsibility all day, every day. And some days it's really hard and it's really taxing and it's really exhausting and you feel really drained. And there's no one there to remind you, like, oh my gosh, but look what you did today. You know, look what you achieved. You're amazing. And like one of my clients recently told me about how there was like a potty training incident with her son and how he'd like had a meltdown and it usually triggers her, but she'd handled it really well and she didn't get upset. And she cleaned him up really calmly and patiently, even though he was crying and even though he was really upset. And she like did this whole thing and it took a really long time and it took a lot of effort. And she had her new baby like right there, who was also getting hungry and getting like, you know, frustrated. And she could see like it was going to end soon, that he was not going to cope for long. But she managed and she didn't lose her cool. And she said like she did this. And it felt like such a massive achievement. And she's like a freaking scientist. She's like a serious career woman with a serious list of achievements to her name. And she's telling me about this poo incident that just felt like huge to her. And she was like, no one was there, you know, no one was there. And how probably if she told her partner, he would have been like, okay, nice, you know, like, well done. And then she was like, but maybe if I'd sent it to my WhatsApp group of moms, you know, they would have probably been really stoked for me. They probably would have said, like, well done, that's amazing, you know. And I think I'm like, really, another client of mine was busy on a Zoom call and with me, we were doing our Zoom therapy, and her baby woke up from her nap like midway through her nap and had to be resettled. And she brought the baby to the Zoom call because she didn't want to like run out of time or whatever, and popped the baby on the boob, settled the baby, baby's sleeping. You know, you can watch that little body as it sort of relaxes in such a safe space, and puts it down, puts her down. And she's like, you know, that whole thing of like boob and transitioning to napping, and it's like, that's masterful. It's freaking masterful. You used your body and your who you are as a person to soothe another human being to sleep, all the while talking and relating to your therapist about like your inner thoughts and feelings. I think that's a freaking masterful achievement. And yet, if I hadn't been on that Zoom call, she wouldn't have, no one would have witnessed that, right? There was no one around to witness that. And I think there's just so many acts like this all through the day and night where I want to say mothers, but parents across the board are showing up and not being acknowledged. And so, how can we create these spaces that are finding some proximity, some proximal experience, something that's sort of as close as we can get to those female spaces, those women witchy dens, you know, those like, what did we used to do when we were in those tribes, those, you know, smaller tribes, and women had babies? We would surround women with, I don't know, our care, our thoughts, our energy. I mean, I think about like most of my female friends, like we spend a lot of time just like backing each other, you know, like seriously, like, you know, just rooting for each other and sort of always seeing the perspective of our friends, always managing to hold that kind of, I don't know, my partner talks about fighting a lot because that's his sport, and he talks about being in someone's corner. And I think that's the feeling, right? Like having someone in your corner. And I think women used to have like a whole lot of women in our corner. And maybe not just women, you know, maybe elders that were of all genders and their partners and their fathers and their brothers. You know, I think everyone participated in supporting in the way we all do support differently. But there's something about the female support that is about that sort of, you go, girl, you know? It's like, that's what I am wanting to harness. That's what I'm wanting to bring back to this journey, this process of becoming a mother, that it should be celebratory. It should be, we should be counting our wins. Yeah, someone recently told me that you can't expect to be acknowledged if you don't, like, no one's going to acknowledge what they don't see. No one can approve of something or validate something or accept or, you know, even just be admire something that they don't know about that they don't see. And I think this is the biggest thing that we face as mothers in particularly, but maybe women in general, is that if you think about like traditional women's work, whether it's like therapy or teaching or caregiving, the caring professions, the it's do we are they visible? Are they visible? And why aren't they visible? And who are they visible to? And who can we become more visible to? How can we become more visible to one another? And how can we start to put out that intention of being there for each other, there to witness and encourage each other along the way? I think it's the secret ingredient. Because I think what I'm trying to say is, I don't think we're worse at mothering. I think that we think we find it harder than previous generations. And maybe we do because it is harder, but it's not because mothering is harder. I think mothering's always been hard. I think soothing babies is hard. And I think staying present is hard. And I think holding big feelings is hard. And I think not losing your shit is hard. And maybe previous generations just didn't have those expectations. And that's also what makes it harder now. But I think that maybe it's not that we're not doing this worse than previous generations. We're not failing like we think we are. I think we think we're failing. I think social media has something to do with that because we're generally comparing ourselves to other people's sort of picturesque, curated internet life, which is really not a true reflection, which is why I'm here with my messy bun and my greasy face. I don't think we're failing. I really don't think we're failing. I think we're just not surrounded by people who are cheerleading us. I think that we don't hear the crowd because we're in these isolated, like, I don't know, prisons, which we call suburban homes or whatever it may be, and I think there's something, to think about here in terms of what community is and how mediating it is, how nourishing it is, how much of a protective factor it is to survive difficult experiences. And in South Africa, I mean, I'm part of the privileged few, but I do think that we see, let's say, less individual mental health issues in communities where there is actual community support, where people are, and that can be even in really disadvantaged communities. We see that if there is a level of community, of connectedness, of sharing resources, of helping each other, of sharing their parenting and workload and everything else amongst themselves, I think we see that as a protective factor. And I just think we can do it. We can do it. We should be doing it. All over the world, we should be doing that. We should be looking to the concept of community as not just the sort of help that we get, which is often really important, the instrumental help that we get to do the tasks that need to be done, but also to have that mirror that shows you that you've got this, that you're handling, that you're nailing it, that you, wow, you didn't know how to do that last week. Wow, that's impressive, So it's just a thought. But it's something I'm excited about. It's like I just want to celebrate the heroes that the sort of everyday heroes that I see in the people that I work with and the people that I know that it's ordinary and it's also extraordinary, you know, that there's so many stories I hear of people who have gone through so much and are still taking care of their children. So I'm going to do a little dedication to all of you, and I hope that I probably will miss someone in this process, but I hope that this is a starting off point for you. And perhaps after hearing me say this, you will be inspired to say it to someone else in your life, or to ask someone in your life to say it to you. You know, that is also something we can do. So here's to the mom who struggled with infertility, who had multiple disappointments and losses, who looked at too many pregnancy tests and too many bloody panties and felt the cramps in her belly as signs of failure, that she was somehow not good enough to be a mother. Here's to you. Here's to you for showing up, for trying again, for really doing the heroic work of putting your body through something with the hopes that it will lead to something beautiful. And to those who are still waiting, you are heroes. You are heroes. You are dreaming. You are conjuring. You are grieving. And you're beautiful. And you're amazing. You're powerful. You're incredible. I see you. To those who saw that problem, positive pregnancy test. Wow. To know that you've gone through so much and you then have the opportunity to do the thing you were wishing to do, to be the person you wanted to be, and how it's something you wished for and also so hard at times. That there are so many moments in motherhood, even when it's been something you've wanted and something you felt you almost never got, that even in those, in that experience, you can have moments where you regret being in the position you're in because one too many sleepless nights or that horrible argument with your partner because you felt a certain way and it just needed to be said and it wasn't, didn't come out in a nice way, or baby doesn't seem to be putting on weight, or maybe my milk's not enough, or you know, maybe there's something else. It's hard. It's hard to care for another human being this intensely. It's hard to feel so scared about another person's safety, about whether they're going to be okay, and knowing that you are responsible for that. That's so hard. You're a freaking hero for taking that on. An everyday hero. Yes, there's a lot of us. We're not unique. But that doesn't mean what we're doing isn't valuable. It's the most valuable thing in this world. Years and years of bullshit, patriarchal dogma, basically, ideology has stripped us and stripped our role of meaning, of worth, of value in our capitalistic society. But that doesn't mean it's not valuable. It is so valuable. It's important. To the NICU mommy, the one who wished so hard to hold your baby against her body to have that skin to skin be the very first hour of baby's existence, to have the feeling of a baby on the breast straight after birth, to not have to separate from your baby. That was your wish. It didn't happen like that. Your baby got ripped away, and it was painful and scary, and you were not okay, and you were not sure if your baby was going to be okay. And there's nothing scarier than that. And you handled that. It sucked. And you screamed and you wailed and you said things that you probably didn't even mean and also really did mean. And you did so because you were fighting, because you didn't give up, because you're powerful. Because even though you were being stitched up and could have been bleeding till you died, like you literally could have died yourself, you were just thinking about your baby. That's a freaking hero to me. I don't know any other definition of hero other than that. Bleeding and being at death's door and only thinking about another? Are you serious? That is literally what the biggest heroes do in all of the stories. So, yeah, you're amazing. You're a fighter. You know inside of yourself what you need to do to show up for your baby, even if they're not with you in your arms. You kept that connection. You held your baby in mind, which is the most powerful thing psychologically, that the baby was separate from you physically, but not emotionally. That is the most powerful thing a mother can offer their baby, their child. Think about your mothers in this moment and how there is an invisible cord that connects you still, that when you think about your mother, even for good or for bad, you know there's a connection. You know there's someone there. And the biggest wish we all have is that when we think about our mothers, we know they're thinking about us. We know that they're connecting to us, that they're wanting to stay in contact with us. For those who don't have that, it is tragic, it is sad, it is devastating. Because that role that we play as mothers is so powerful. The degree to which we feel grief, because when we lose our mothers, or if something has ruptured in the relationship between our mothers and ourselves, it's so devastating. And that's because that's how important motherhood is. That's how important mothering is. That's why you doing the job you do is so valuable to all the mamas. No matter how you do this thing, no matter whether you choose this approach or that approach, if you are there consistently available, tuning into your child, knowing how they're feeling, just being able to say, I think she's feeling this. Even if it's just, I think she's feeling hungry, I think she's feeling tired. That is masterful. That is sorcery. Think about it. What other relationship do you have where you can look at another person's body and say, I know what they're feeling on the inside? It's magical. It's marvelous. It's a marvel. I marvel at it every day. Not so much in myself because I'm hard on myself, but in others. I see you. I see your hard work. see what you put into this. I see even when it's the hardest for you, because you come to me and you tell me about how hard it is, how bad you feel about this and how bad you feel about that, how you're not perfect, how you fucked up here and you fucked up there and you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And what if she's not going to be okay? I hear you at your most doubtful of your heroism. And I see how incredible you are. I see the work you put in, the thought you put in. I see how you look into yourself to try to work out how to be better, how to offer more, how to show up more for your child. I don't know of another role where we do that, where the whole thing is just about pouring into another, offering, offering, offering. So you are magical. You deserve to be recognized. And I'm giving you permission to feel good right now. Just feel good about the fact that you are doing the thing. Not that you did it perfectly. Not that you got it right. Not that you always say the right things. Not that you don't lose your shit. But that you're doing it. You're showing up. Maybe we should start like a challenge. Like a, I don't know, like a, trying to think because I've kind of gone off all social media, but I'm thinking you can do this challenge. Hashtag on the couch with Carly, hashtag mom tribe. And just say something to your mom tribe. Something, just big up your mom tribe. Just say something positive, something that has inspired you lately, something you saw, something you noticed about another mother in the group that you're with. Someone that said something, and you were like, damn, that's good. Or you observed something they did with their children, and you were like, damn, that's good. Tell them. Tell them on social media. Tell them to their faces. Tell them over a WhatsApp group. Tell them in an email. Tell them. Let's start a trend. Hashtag mom tribe. Hashtag on the couch with Carly mom tribe. Let's do this. Take care.